You're listening to The Donna Drake Show. Join us weekly as Donna talks with celebrity entertainers, sports legends, top journalists, business moguls, and everyday heroes, sharing their stories of triumph, inspiration, and perseverance. Hosted by international award-winning creative artist, writer, producer, actor, and influencer, Donna Drake. All right, let's live it up with Donna Drake.
Here we are behind the stage at the Lido deck, and you're getting ready for a big party tonight, right?
Yeah, we're going to have some fun here in a few minutes.
Red, white, and blue night. And when is it not red, white, and blue night? I know that you're very patriotic. I am, too. What are you going to be performing tonight?
Oh, we'll do most of the hits people expect to hear, and maybe a Thor Merle Haggard song in there, and, you know, gospel song.
Now, water into wine is something that everybody on this cruise seems to be, no, wine into water, absolutely loving. And that has a personal story behind it.
Well, yeah, I'm used to have a really bad drug and alcohol problem, but it's all better now. God and my wife, Sheila, took care of me. And we wrote Wine into Water basically about me. And over the years, I'm so happy it's helped a lot of people.
Once upon a time, you turned the water into wine. And now on my knees, I'm turning to you, Father. Could you help me turn the wine back into water?
When you perform, your voice, you do this thing where you, like, do this kind of thing with the microphone. I mean, that's the best imitation.
I don't even know.
Oh, it's so good watching you perform because you really connect really well with the audience, you know? So just pretend for a second. You hold my microphone and just maybe kind of do the thing that you do, and I'll show you what I'm talking about. It's pretty cool, yeah.
What? Whoa, hey, I don't know. I have my eyes closed and I can't see what I'm doing.
Because you're feeling it, right? You feel the music?
I'm trying to feel it and remember the lyrics.
At what point did you realize in your journey that this was going to be who you got to grow up to be?
Gee, I don't know, man. I never knew. I went to the University of Georgia in Athens, Georgia, and that's when I started singing for a living. I started out at a Holiday Inn there, like a lot of people start out at Holiday Inns. And
that's where you met Sheila, right? Didn't you meet in school?
Yeah, we met in Athens, Georgia, and I would sing at night and get up and go to class in the morning. So that's how I paid my tuition, was singing. So I've been doing this for a living since 1973. So next year will be 50 years I've been doing this for a living.
Wow, good for you.
I know.
That's crazy. Fantastic. And when you found out that they invited you to come on the country music cruise, why did you say yes?
Oh, because I love doing it. We've done several of the country music cruises, and we've had a wonderful time, you know, each trip. So, I mean, golly, you get to come out here and eat all these cookies. See, that's what I've been doing, Donna's eating cookies.
Lou's been eating ice cream.
I've had a little bit of ice cream myself.
They have banana ice cream. They have all these different flavors. Every day I think he wakes up just to find out what the flavor is. But I like the cookies too. The chocolate chip, the peanut butter, macadamia nut.
Exactly. Well, I've been on a diet and with no sugar, so I've kind of gone overboard, so to speak, here on the cruise.
Overboard. And you know what? That's the funny thing about you too, is when you entertain, you have these like really cool like jokes that you interweave and the audience seems to really love them. Something about a fender. What is that one? You know that story?
Oh, about the woman that beat up her husband with his guitar collection.
Yeah, that's a true story, right? So what happened?
Well, she went before the judge and he said first a fender, and she said, no, sir, first a Gibson, then a fender.
So you're getting ready to take the stage, and you've got a great, like, I guess, backline here. Like, different people have been playing, so many musicians. Have you met new friends here this year?
Yeah, I've met some folks, but I know basically everybody, you know, in the business anyways. It's kind of more, instead of meeting new people, it's more like a family reunion kind of thing.
You know what? That's right. Lacey J. Doyle said the same thing. A lot of people, well, Bandy's here. A lot of you haven't gotten to see each other in a while, so it's nice to see you all get up and perform together. It's fun, right?
Yeah, well, we cross paths on the road, you know, we're doing shows. So we see each other, you know, fairly often.
Nothing better than this cruise, though. This is my first cruise. I've never been on a cruise before.
Oh, well, good.
I was a little afraid I was going to get claustrophobic, but you can't get claustrophobic because, I mean, it's a beautiful view and, I don't know, there's plenty to do.
Well, this is a big boat.
It is a big boat. It's not like a rowboat. Where any. I don't know, tippy canoe. But it is fun, and I'm having a great time. And I'm so excited because about a month or so ago, I got to have you on my show, but didn't know you were going to be here. You didn't know I was going to be here. And here we are in the three dimension, bringing it all to you every day. So let's live it up. And thank you again.
You're welcome.
And is there anything else you'd like to say to the audience?
Well, God bless every one of y'all, and God bless the United States of America.
Amen. What instruments do you play?
My main instrument is guitar. And I play a little banjo, ukulele, and mandolin, and I can play chopsticks on the piano.
I can play Heart and Soul.
Dun, 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 dun. And you go, I like that. you could do the little crossover, yes.
That's the extent of it. I tried to, I sang in a patriotic singing group growing up, but I don't really play an instrument yet. But I have a piano at my house, and I keep saying to myself, I'm going to at least learn at least maybe a few Christmas songs.
Oh, yeah. I mean, even if you don't want to play the melody, you can at least just kind of do some chords and kind of roll them. And that way it kind of builds the music, you know. But no, and it's fun just to plunk around too, I think.
I got a chance to listen to you on the main stage talking about your book, about your journey, and about this really cool box set thing. You can't even call it a box set, unless you call it a jukebox set. But it's wonderful.
It's actually the design is called the Tombstone.
Okay.
And that was the shape of the radio during the era that these recordings were recorded. So, Time Life at the time, that is why the presentation box is. And in fact, when you turn around, it has even a picture of like what the little tubes and stuff would look like. But that's why that box set was, pick was because we tried to keep everything within the same era that of the recordings you're listening to, as if you had been there in 1951, you'd have actually turned that knob like we did, and what's inside that box is what you would have heard.
It's very exciting. It's a beautiful set. You have an interesting journey. You didn't grow up as Jet Williams.
No. I did not. And in fact, I tell people I had 8 names. I think I changed homes 4 or 5 times, and religion too, because whatever home environment you're in, you know, and especially as a toddler and everything, you know, whatever your environment is, then you just kind of absorb it, you know. And so, you know, I'm very fortunate, but I also believe too that the name Jet Williams, which I have taken as a professional name, but I've also changed it, was that it brings me back full circle to who I was when I started, you know, as opposed to just all these little chapters in my life. I just think that name takes in all the names and the homes and the families that I have lived with.
It's a beautiful name. It's really very, very nice name. Now, you later in life found out that you were the daughter of Hank Williams. And one touching thing that you shared was that you had found out how much he wanted you and how loved you were even before you were born.
Well, you know, one thing I tell adopted children about going on a search, I said, you have got to emotionally and mentally reach that point to be able to take the next step. And the reason being is because when you don't know, you can fantasize. Okay. You can, say, oh, I was the most wanted and, you know, my parents were killed in an automobile. You know, you can create this fantasy. And so I tell adopted kids, I'm one of the lucky ones because I got the answers to my questions, but they were the answers I wanted to hear. And I said, you know, you could pick up that phone and you could say, I didn't want you then and I don't want you now. And then you can have the rejection or you may never find out, or you find out that, yes, you were wanted. But once you cross that threshold, now you have to live with the answer. So make sure that you prepare for the worst and hope for the best. But you really have to be able to handle that, because, I mean, that's probably, you know, most people get to take for granted that they know who they are, they know their parents, and they know that their parents are going to love them no matter what. But you have to be able to prepare yourself so that if that phone call does come through and it's not what you want to hear, and that you're now able to be able to handle that and move forward with the rest of your life.
My grandfather lost his mom when he was a very young boy, and his dad had to go out and work. I'm talking about like the early 1920s, 30s. And so there really weren't like foster homes or things like that. And so sometimes he had to spend the night in a jail. There was just no place for my grandfather, right? But he grew up to be a wonderful, loving, you know, fine man. And so I love to talk about the fact of the adoption process, or, you know, sometimes the friends that we choose are our family. You know, it, like family can be just people you really care about.
Exactly. It says I wasn't born under your heart. I was born in your heart. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and as I said, you know, even like with natural children, I mean, love is because of the chair you occupy sometimes, as opposed to actually I'm closer to my friends or whatever than actually having that bond with a family. If you have that, that's great. But, you know, I think a lot of people, you know, lean on their friends. But, you know, like I said, to me, I think being wanted, especially when you don't know anything about yourself. And, you know, the thing that I love this was, well, you were really wanted because you were adopted. No. If I was really wanted, I wouldn't have been adopted. I mean, you know, it's just one of those little cliches people say that, but, you know, so to have been put out and, as I said, you know, thrown out with the bathwater, so to speak, then to actually find out that you're really wanted. And for me to get the notarized papers that my dad signed about me, the best I had hoped for, I could have found a friend of his that said, oh yeah, honey, he was really looking for it. Or I thought if I found my natural mother or whatever, but I have something better. I mean, I have a legal notarized copy of my dad signing this. And other than my dad sitting here with me right now and telling me, yes, I wanted you, it couldn't get any better than to have concrete 100% evidence that he wanted me.
Did you grow up also writing? Did you write when you were a kid? Like, and not knowing that maybe that was...
I grew up writing. I grew up playing guitar. I was taking classical guitar when I was 11. If you look in the book that we're talking about today, I'm 2 and I got a cowboy hat on. And in fact, I was very fortunate to get my adoption records. And back when my grandmother was trying to adopt me, the social worker, you know, made the monthly visits. And in one of the entries, it says, the child is on the dining room table with a cowboy hat and a guitar singing Your Cheatin' Heart. And I thought I was singing Your Cheatin' Heart, but that was my very first stage, was my grandmother's dining room table.
Oh my, that's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. And we're here, you know, celebrating country music and all good things and great people. It's nice for people to be able to be with one another again.
Oh, well, you know, COVID kind of, I think, you know, made everybody pause, really reevaluate where you are in life. You know, there's the old hit the reset button. But I think it gave everybody a chance to, I don't guess I didn't ever really appreciate a hug until, you know, when COVID and it started to die down a little bit. You catch yourself, you know, because you just, I mean, I'm from the South. Okay. We're huggy people, you know, but, you know, to actually stand in line and be conscious of let's try and do all the protocol and everything to, you know, cause nobody really knows anything. And so I think, it really made me appreciate being able to be more physical, to be able to come on a cruise and stuff, to where, you know, at home I isolated and everything, just because nobody knew anything, and I wanted to, I didn't want to give anything to anybody. And of course I didn't want it, but it's also, it, it's kind of nice to see things kind of start to get back a little bit to normal. But also too, I think everybody really missed being able to be together, to talk, but also too, to hug each other or hold hands or whatever. So, you know, I'm glad we're, and hopefully, not just our country, but the world, we are now back on a little bit of a normal pace, but it also kind of taught me a lesson too, that whatever is thrown at the world, you know, it's just not the United States doing something. Everybody came together, you know, and we were all in the same boat, so to speak. And I think it actually, in a way, brought everybody a little bit closer.
I think so, too. There's so much going on in the world, and just, you know, standing up and being there for each other, being neighborly, things that you grow up, you know, hoping that everybody has that same attitude.
You know, people would go and they would make sure that somebody they couldn't get groceries, you know, that they would like our neighbor. It's like, you know, you'd say you want something, then you would just get it and put it on the front door, you know, and then when you left, they could have some, you know, make sure that everybody had food. And, you know, it just I think it made everybody just a little bit more aware that we need each other, as opposed to just, you know, go along and your own way. Yeah.
No but time for selfish.
But it's more, I think, of just being independent. You know, as opposed there, everybody kind of had to look out, not just for themselves, but to look out for everyone around them, you know, and be a little bit more neighborly.
What's on the horizon for you now, besides this big, beautiful blue ocean? Are you writing more? Are you planning on touring a little bit? Like, what's coming up for you in the next several months?
Well, you know, right now I'm kind of in the middle of this and in the middle of that. I am one of these people that I've been very fortunate, and it just seems to cross my path. And
I'm giggling because I know what you mean. Like, all of a sudden you're one place and something shows up.
I mean, you don't really realize that, you know, okay. The way I say it is, my life changes with a phone call. I think today it's more an email, you know, I'm very fortunate, like with my story and projects. It's almost like a word of mouth, and someone will say this and it'll go down. And it's just like this interview here, you know. Still, my dad's 100th birthday is coming up. So we're going to be trying to work on some special projects to honor him during that year. And I will take shows if it's something I really want to do. I mean, I toured for 30 years. And if it's something I really want to do, are you going to pay me so much money I can't say no? You know, but, to me, it's like, being with Lacey J. Dalton and PG and all that. Like the other night, we were all together and I mean, oh my God, we just started all singing together and the harmonies and just, you know, all of that. It's when the people that have true love that are artists and musicians, you just want to get together. And when you have the opportunity to do with people, you don't get to see that often. And here, it's not like you just see them that one night you're together or whatever. Here, you get to spend a little bit more one-on-one time. And, you know, I think that makes it very special. And I can appreciate now more. I got to, during my career, I got to do a lot of package shows. Okay, like with Riders in the Sky and people like that. And we would actually go out on the road and do show after show after show. And you really get to make a, I mean, not only a professional friendship, you get to make a personal friendship.
I've never seen a night so long when time goes crawling by. The moon just went behind.
It's a little rough, you know, but I mean, I guess it's all part of it, you know, but. No, it's great. I mean, it's like I did the show with Dale and Lacey J out in Montana. And we did, and on that was Mo Bandy and Paul Carlson. And of course, we all got together and did got up on stage together and sang. And I think when you can do that and not just everybody have their own little slot and you come on, you sing and you leave, you know, when you can do that and, you know, it makes it special for not only the audience, but also too for the artists, but it also ties it together, and it's just not, it ends up having a little magic on the show, because when you get to that part of all getting together, it's like, okay, anything can happen.
And anything can happen. And we have been living it up right here. If you don't have Jet's book, we highly suggest it. Even more so if you can get your hands on that beautiful box set. I mean, it can't even be called a box set. It's more like a cube set. It's a cube. It's a cube. It comes in a cube. It's fun to visit with you. And I thank you so sincerely for just spending a little bit of time with me, because you have had an extraordinary journey, and probably the best is yet to come. That's how I always believe.
Well, you know, the thing about it is, I think about that, but I also am the kind of person, I am right now grateful for where I am and what I've got. And so if anything else comes down the road, mm-hmm. so be it. But for right now, I appreciate what I have, and I'm thankful for that.
Yeah, the beauty of the moment.
Exactly.
I'm just like taking it in. I'm like looking out at the waves, and you're absolutely right. This is the only moment that we own.
That's exactly right. And, you know, you can't. You know, just when you think you got life licked, it'll send you a hard ball, you know? And so, as I said, you need to appreciate the moment and appreciate what you have, because we are so lucky. I mean, even with the COVID and everything, we're so lucky to still be here. I mean, with COVID, I mean, people you thought were like, you know, stone. I mean, it didn't care who you were, were you male, female, whatever, origin you had, whatever country you came from. I mean, it struck hard. And so, you know, live today. I mean, tomorrow, well, we'll just have to see, but be thankful for what you've got.
Thank you, Jet Williams. I'm Donna Drake, visiting with Jet Williams. We are here on the Country Music Cruise 2022. From our hearts to your heart, stay happy, stay safe, and bless you. The artwork on this ship is absolutely beautiful, too. I mean, when you walk around, it just feels very homey, very nice here.
It's our ships are kind of classical, but then still that you walk around and eat, and there's a lot of artwork everywhere, and you just don't notice it normally. You just pass by, but when you really start looking around, there's a lot of it. And each ship has kind of like a theme also on board of the ships.
Yes, and the spa, there's a beautiful piece of sculpture from Italy. I mean, there's beautiful pieces from all over the world here. So congratulations on that, too, because when you're walking on a sea day, it's fun to, like, look around.
Yeah, and then even in the corridors where there's the guest cabins or the guest staterooms, there is pictures of old Holland America, and so from ships that were being built, and even from team members from back in the days. And there's really old stuff, and there's actually also very recent pictures of it. So it's just interesting to see. Some of them you can really recognize people because you used to work with them.
Yeah, it's very wonderful to be here. It's my first cruise. Now, have you counted how many times you've been at sea?
No, I kind of lost track. I count in years nowadays. So I started in 1989, so I'm up to 33 years now this year coming up.
And when you're not sailing, one question I had for you is if you had any hobbies, like if you fish, or even asked if you go bowling, because there's no way you could have a bowling alley on ship, right? Because, I mean, the lane would, but there is basketball. So do you have hobbies outside of sailing?
Yes, I do.
Or captaining? Is that more appropriate?
Yeah, when I'm off the ship, when I'm on my time off, then I love to spend time at home, because that's one thing. You're never really at home, so it's fun to just be in your own place. But we still like to travel a lot. I'm married, so we travel in a lot of places. I like to ride on a motorbike, and I like to go water sports or windsurfing. I like to do as well.
Excellent. Yeah. Now, motorbiking, where's the most incredible trail that you've ever been able to be on?
I've done quite a few. I've done quite a bit in the Alps in Europe. But one of the fun one that I did was in Malaysia. And there was a rental bike, but I went with a tour guide. And we drove through all the plantations. And that was really with the red dirt. So when you were driving, it felt really like you were off-road. And then you had a cow in the middle of the road.
Oh, my gosh, you're like, cow!
Correct. Yeah, stop. But so that was a very interesting day to ride. It was a day trip that we did then.
Well, I doubt if we're going to see a cow when you're steering this beautiful vessel, right? There's no cows at sea.
No, I haven't met them yet. I haven't seen them.
Maybe a seahorse or two. And then there was another question I had, too, is that, you know, because this is we're on the country music cruise, and they do have a lot of music tours. Do you have a favorite genre? You can say country if you feel like you have to on this one, but...
No, it's very interesting to see this cruise. There's a lot of different venues with different country music and different stars. And it's fun to see it. And especially it's fun to see how all the guests are really entertained and they are really enjoying the music, dancing and really having a good time. So that's good to see. The country music, I like it, but it's not one of my favorite kind of musics to say. I liked last week we had the soul music on board, and that was, I watched one of their shows, and that was good to see. But it's interesting to see if you have a certain type of genre of music coming on board, and that the guests that are coming with it are totally into it, and it's
Much passion, right? Yeah. And I think they really appreciate the fact that you have that beautiful theater. You have many beautiful theaters, but the main theater, I mean, that is like a Broadway production kind of theater.
Yes, and then they bring on their own, or they bring on extra sound equipment and all that to make it. Yeah, it's professional shows that are being put up. And we have them also outside on the leader deck. You've probably seen that as well, where we have a whole stage built and the music set up. And so then even when it's nice weather outside in the evening, there's band playing over there.
Well, I did discover just this afternoon that there is basketball. So just for the fun of it, I'm going to have to go all the way up to the top deck. The crow's nest is nice. There's so many beautiful vistas and views. And I'm really, truly, like I said, this is my first cruise. I just want to tell you thank you. Thank you for growing up to become who you are, because without you, I couldn't be here. So I appreciate you. Thank you so much, Captain.
It's our pleasure. And actually, it's thank you to all the team members on board. They provide all the service and they will do all the hard work. Just here, making sure that it all happens. But they do the work.
You have a wonderful family on board. They really, truly, your staff is impeccable. So kind and so welcoming. And I'm really having a great time. It was a pleasure to meet you. And happy journeys to you wherever your ship takes you.
Thank you. It was a pleasure meeting you, too.
Nice to meet you.
Enjoy the day.
Thank you very much, Captain. And if you would like to cruise, I highly suggest Holland America. Be well.
And even though Chelsea was not due to give birth until the 27th, with Avion, life always doesn't work out that way. Avion, unfortunately, had his umbilical cord wrapped around his neck. So Pio Negrin and EMT Eric Ramirez, who was a paramedic, were able to deliver the baby in the back of that ambulance and had the umbilical cord removed from the baby's neck.
So I work for the Ridge Fire Department. It is the third largest fire district in New York State, if I'm not mistaken. We're pretty big. And this is right at the onset of the holiday surge for COVID. So this is Christmas Eve. So this is after everybody was home for Thanksgiving and everybody was hanging out with each other. And this is when we had the huge uptick in cases. So the day in question, we were very, very, very busy. I was actually driving assistive personnel to one end of the district when we got activated for this maternity alarm. So I dropped off my assisted personnel at the previous alarm. I took up to the second alarm. I got there as quickly, expeditiously, and safely as I possibly could. And when I arrived on scene, I saw a bunch of volunteer firefighters from the Ridge Fire Department helping Chelsea out of her car. They already had pulled an ambulance to the front of the building, and they were getting everything underway. And then I was brought up to speed. So Chelsea was awesome because she's very well informed about her own health and pregnancy, which is, I can't say a lot about most of my patients. Half the time they can't tell me, you know, what conditions they have or what medications they're on. She was very specific. She said, I was due to have this baby taken out as in a C-section on Monday. That's due to the fact that on the sonogram, they saw that he had the nuchal cord wrapped around his neck 3 times. And we were on our way to Peconic Bay, which is in Riverhead, if people aren't familiar, Peconic Bay Medical Center. Now, working in where I work at, we have the benefit of transporting to one of four or five hospitals because the district is so big and we're about 20 to 30 minutes away from one of five hospitals at any given time. So it's very important to know what resources that you have available to you and making sure that you take your patients to the closest appropriate facility that they needed to go to. So hearing that she was a high-risk pregnancy with the nuchal cord and, you know, all the other things going on, I knew that Peconic Bay wouldn't be an appropriate destination to take her to. Not saying that Peconic Bay isn't a great facility, because it is, But their medical, I'm sorry, their surgical team, they would have to call in. It was based, it was Friday. I think it was like anywhere between 6 and 8. I just don't remember the time off the top of my head. I do know they would have to call the surgical team in. They do have labor and delivery at Peconic Bay, but they don't have a neonatal ICU. Just because I'm aware of how many things can go wrong with this type of pregnancy and delivery, we made the decision at that point to basically turn around and go to Stony Brook Medical Center, just because they have all of their specialties already in-house. They have the neonatal ICU, and they have labor and delivery. So I'm just going through my head trying to troubleshoot, you know, trying to nip a whole bunch of potential problems in the bud. So a lot of things happened very quickly. Before we left on scene, I made a general statement, and I said, I'm going to need an extra set of hands because things are going to happen very quickly. And then it was Suffolk County Police Officer Kyle Negrin. He didn't even bat an eye. He volunteered. He's like, sure, whatever you need, I'll go along with you. So with that being said, it was awesome that Officer Negrin was on with us because we were able to get a police escort all the way to Stony Brook Hospital because he still had his radio with him. So it was kind of cool. So as you know, we're doing a whole bunch of stuff. He's on the radio. It's like, we're at this intersection, shut it down. We're approaching this intersection, shut it down. I think we got to Stony Brook in like 15 minutes from Ridge, which is kind of silly. But a lot of things happened very quickly. She kept on saying that I feel him. I got to push. And, you know, I'm thinking in my head, it's like, if you can avoid delivering in the ambulance, sure. But I, you know, think if he's going to come, he decides when he's coming. So it was the third instance where she said, I feel him. I got to push. I got to get it done. We took a look, and the two previous times there was no presentation of the baby outside the mother's birth canal. This time I could clearly see like his forehead was like halfway out and he was like at his brow line. I'm like, okay, it's happening. We got stuff to do. Like we got a job to do.
I was very much awake. I mean, I felt like I was kind of probably annoying them a little bit. I'm like, can we go faster? Can we get there? I was just very worried. But yeah, you know, when you're in delivery, you can't, like, you try not to push, but you can't. When you feel it, you have to push. So I'm like, he's coming. It's inevitable. But they were very great, and I'm grateful for them because they were able to get the job done and get him out safely and get us to the hospital safely, and everything worked out great. So yeah, that last, once they said we were like 5 minutes away, he was coming. He was definitely coming.
He's like 5 minutes away, this is my cue.
Yeah, and I felt his head coming out, and after that, it was like the rest of him kind of felt like he flew out of there.
I have a proclamation for you, Eric. So if you just, I'll drop it off at your house.
Thank you very much, sir.
No problem. And Terry, we've got something.
Yes, and on behalf of Supervisor Schaefer and the entire town board, we offer you the town's highest recognition, which is the Heroism Award.
Thank you so much, guys.
And you know, how many people, what percentage of the world can say that they brought life into this world, you know? And we thank you for that, and we thank you for your dedication to your training, and it seems like that is really paying off. We all wish you well in your doctorate in nursing, I have a feeling you found your calling, and you're on the right path.
Yeah, great. And Chelsea, yeah, congratulations and best of luck. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you all. Thank you.
Chelsea, it was so good to see you again.
Congratulations, Eric. That's awesome.
You. Thank you. No, listen, I'm just glad that the right people were there at the right time to help you guys out. I was very relieved because, you know, when you're dealing with certain things like this, you're just troubleshooting in your head. But I'm just thinking of all the things that can go wrong, and I'm just trying to prepare for the worst case scenario, and everything went right. It was very relieving.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
I had a little quick conversation with a police officer because I knew as soon as the front part of the head was going to come out, he was going to be in at the shoulders, which the entire head would have presented at the birth canal. It's kind of like he's stuck like this. So I asked the police officer, what are you comfortable doing? Do you want to get one of the loops of the cord out? Because I knew one of us either had to hold the infant's, the neonate's head, because you just can't, you know, try to get the cord out from the kid's head without, you know, securing his head. You can end up strangling the kid. You can end up doing damage. So at that time, we made the decision that I was going to stabilize little Avion's head, and the police officer was going to attempt to get one of the loops of the cord out. Thankfully, we were able to get that first loop out, and I feel like that kind of gave a little bit of more wiggle room because, you know, he was able to finally say, okay, now I'm coming. So we got the first loop out. She was able to deliver Avion, I think, his first shoulder presented. At that point, as soon as the first shoulder comes out, the second one just dips under and they kind of just slide out. So we made sure we caught the baby. We undid the two remaining nuchal loops around his neck. And at that point, I'm just troubleshooting through my head. Because again, these are one of the things that you train for, but it's not necessarily like your run-of-the-mill call, like I do this every day. So one of the things they teach you in school is make sure you know your stuff and make sure nobody sees you sweat. So what that means is you can have, you know, you can be freaking out in your own head, but again, this is not your emergency, it's somebody else's. So if you're not composed and together, you could be exacerbating how somebody's feeling and you're supposed to be there helping them. So in my head, I was like, we got to do it. We got to dry warm stimulate. I got to make sure the kid's breathing. I got to make sure the kid starts crying. You know, I'm just running through things in my head because again, one of the difficult parts was done. The baby was out, but I now have two patients, whereas before I had one. So I need to make sure that mom's okay, that mom isn't, you know, hemorrhaging, you know, excessively. I got to make sure that the baby starts to transition to extrauterine life, which could be very difficult for them. So started to dry, warm, stimulate. I basically started rubbing him until he got annoyed. And, you know, he started crying. As soon as he started crying, I put him on mom's chest. We wrapped him up, cut the umbilical cord, and I kept on telling mom to bother him. Just keep bothering him until we have a doctor in front of him because, you know, we're not out of the woods just yet.
He's very healthy and happy, and we're very grateful that you could help us.
I'm just really glad everything worked out. I got to be very thankful.
Me too. I knew he was going to come early, but I'm so grateful to have had you guys there to help us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm Donna Drake, and
I'm Ashley Campbell.
And we're here on the Country Music Cruise 2022 in the Crow's Nest. We're having so much fun. And I think that's what it's all about. We're just like living life. And it's a very joyful time right here now.
It really is. It's nice to be out and about again and playing music for people in person.
Have you missed that for last?
Absolutely. I've been doing a live stream almost every Sunday since the pandemic kind of started for a little over 2 years now, which is crazy. But I'm still doing it because the same people want to watch it every week. And it's kind of become this really cute little community of people who watch my live stream and enjoy that. And, you know, some people can't travel still. And it's a nice way to play music for people.
You have such a presence about you. I've noticed it the whole time on the ship, and I didn't want to over talk to you ahead of time because I wanted the magic of this moment, right, for us. So I kept looking at you. I was like, wow, you really have a command of your spirit. You know, you just kind of radiate. It's like, I guess you were kind of born to be you.
I mean, I guess I can't be anyone else, but I try to just be really present and with people. If I'm talking to you, I try to really be talking to you and not be thinking, what am I going to have for dinner? You know? So I just kind of try to be in the moment, and there's no reason not to be joyful in the moment, you know?
And your solo career is really taking off.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah, well, you nice. Traveled all over the world. You play banjo. You're really talented. You do all kinds of things. But now you're working more as a solo artist.
I am. Yeah. I toured with my dad for about 3 years out of college. I had no intention of becoming a professional musician, but I graduated from Pepperdine University in 2009, and I'd been playing banjo for about a year. And my dad, later that summer, was going to go on tour to Australia and New Zealand, and I wanted to go so bad. So I said, can I just come along? And he said, yeah, but now that you play banjo, you should play on Gentle on My Mind. And then it snowballed into me playing keyboards and string parts on a synthesizer, and I just became a member of the band on that tour and just didn't stop. And I fell in love with the lifestyle and playing music, and I started writing my own music. And then you know the rest of the story with the documentary and Alzheimer's diagnosis.
You take me to the window and you show me that it's beautiful.
It really brought a lot of dignity and grace to Alzheimer's. I guess those are the words that come to me, you know, firsthand at the moment. But it was really important that you shared the story and that it was there for people to learn
and to get education and awareness about it.
Yeah. Well, there, no one really talked about it before, you know, before the documentary, at least that I'm aware of. You know, I hadn't, the only thing I'd seen of Alzheimer's in movies was, you know, the stereotypical things and kind of funny things or, but, you know, and it's a lot of people, I think, were embarrassed to talk about it, but it's nothing to be embarrassed about. It's a condition, you know, like anything else. And I think my dad was so brave and being public with it and showing the world that you can still live a full life and that you should, you know, and also there's this huge important aspect of the whole family and caregivers going through it of it's okay to ask for help. You know, yes. It takes a village, you know, so many people have to try and do it on their own and there's always people you can reach out to.
And because of that, I feel like people don't feel as alone anymore. And people still love your all of your family's music, but your dad's music and, you know, all of those songs. And you've re-recorded some things also.
Yes, I did a cover of Wichita Lineman a couple years back. And I just recorded a new cover of Gentle on My Mind that's going to be released sometime this summer.
That you're moving on the back roads by the rivers of my memory. And for hours you're just gentle on my mind.
Finding different about this venue to be able to perform on a cruise ship?
Well, I've done one country music cruise before. That was at the beginning of 2020, but I didn't get to bring my band. So this is a whole different level, you know, with, you know, musicians that are I've practiced with and everything like that. So we're playing today at 4 p.m. and I'm so excited. And I love that the entire cruise is just filled with people who love country music, especially classic country.
Yes.
Because that's my love. And so I don't have to worry about boring people, you know, I play so many venues that you worry because people are expecting like upbeat the whole time, but I'm like, I'm going to play some sad songs. Yeah. Excuse me.
Emote a little bit. Yeah. Feel. We want you to feel right.
Yeah. So I'm good. Yeah. Today at the pool, I'm going to play some of my favorite classics, you know.
What are you going to be playing?
I love Roger Miller. So I'm going to do a little King of the Road, going to do In the Summertime, some Hank Williams, Dolly Parton.
Nice.
Yeah.
And you've gotten to work with, I think you did something with Dolly Parton. I mean, you've met a lot of people along the journey.
I've met Dolly. I've never gotten to collaborate with her, but
maybe not yet.
Maybe not yet. Yeah, yeah. I hope so.
to be soon. Yeah. And when you're performing, who are some of your band members that you brought?
I brought guitarist Thor Jensen, who just moved to Nashville from New York. And I brought drummer Chris Gelb, who's an amazing drummer of all sorts of talents, but he's really great at jazz too, but kills at country. And then Jimmy Sullivan on bass, who's just very well-versed in all genres as well. So it's just great to have such a dynamic, talented team.
Will you dare to try and hold me close? I saw something in your lonely eyes.
Look at your tour dates on your website. Pretty impressive. Are you looking forward to that? Where will you be headed?
Oh my goodness. So I've got a summer tour planned. We're starting in Ireland. We're doing 10 days there. And then I'm actually with a record label in Scotland. So I'm joining up with a couple other label mates, Paul McDonald and Barry James, in the UK. And we're going to do a couple full band runs all together. And then my guitarist Thor and I are going to continue on and go to Spain and do some duo shows. And then we're hitting up Paris. And then we're going to go back to the UK and do a bunch of duo shows.
Actually, I want to go with you. I'll be a roadie.
Come on.
Be another roadie.
I can't pay you, but
okay. Hey, you know what? I would do it for the love of music. And that's what I think is so pleasant about this cruise too. It really is for the love of the song, the love of the performance and the connection with people.
Oh yeah. Like I just love touring and playing music for people. Like, you know, as long as I'm not losing too much money, I'll do it for, you know, I just want to make it work. You know, I just love the experience.
Laughing, but I was serious when I told you backstage that I sold my house. I sold everything I own. Yeah. And people thought I was absolutely crazy. I said, you don't understand. When you have a vision that's so pure, you don't know any other way except to move that forward.
Yeah. I mean, that's the best way to put it. Mm-hmm. I just
practice when you're at home. Are you like roaming around the, you know, the kitchen, like playing or?
Yeah, I try to, you know, practice every morning as well as I can. And I'm actually learning a new style of guitar. Ooh. I'm trying to learn gypsy jazz because my dad was a huge fan of guitarist Django Reinhardt and kind of like 1930s and 40s guitar swing music. And so I've always wanted to learn that style and it's hard. It makes me feel like a total beginner, which is a great feeling, you know, kind of keeps your head small. And
yeah, is it the way that your fingers are positioned on the fret? Like what makes it different?
Well, it's a different style of rhythm playing. It's a very niche, very specific style of rhythm. It's called la pompe because you're pumping your fingers. Din, 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 din. And it's, you know, anyone can pretend to do it, but to the people in the know, to do it well, it's a real art form, you know?
I'm excited to watch you perform. I haven't, you know, this is day two, right? Day two of the cruise. Cozumel, that's going to be fun. Have you ever been there before?
I did go to Cozumel on the last cruise in 2020, and I loved it, but we didn't have much time there. This time we'll have two whole days. So I'm going to eat a lot of tacos and swim.
And what do you put on your tacos? Are you like a cheese, lettuce, tomato kind of girl?
Oh, I like traditional Mexican street tacos. So, you know, like I love carnitas and I'll eat anything they give me.
There you go. And on the cruise, the food really is quite good. And when you go on tour, what do you pack? Like, you know, when you're gone so many days, do you like, are you like most of us? Like sometimes we'll be like, all right, that shirt's dirty, but I'll just wash it in the sink.
Yeah, I bring like enough for maybe 5 or 6 days and then I wash and I repeat. But I'm going to be gone for 2.5 months and I love fashion and it's really hard for me because I'm like, I want to wear something different. But I just have to get used to, you know, utility, you know, like I'll probably bring this shirt and just
and match it up.
Yeah. Different. Yeah. Bottoms and whatnot. But
favorite memories from childhood or even more recent for you?
Oh gosh. I mean, just always seeing my dad play was such a great memory. And I always just really admired his musicianship. You know, his voice was great, but I remember just being a 6-year-old little kid and he had a theater in Branson, Missouri, and we were always backstage because we were being homeschooled at the time. And anytime he would play an instrumental like Classical Gas or the William Tell Overture, I would hear it through the speakers and I would run to the side of the stage and watch. Him when I grow up.
Well, you'll be like you, but you are just pleasant. Like I said, when I saw you, just your energy, your effervescentness, you're, you know, just full of joy. So you're the youngest and your dad used to call you
the caboose. Yeah.
Talented Campbells. I thank you so much. I wish you continued success and joy. And when you're on the road every night that you lay your head on the pillow that you've had your greatest day ever.
So
genuinely nice to meet you.
Nice
to meet you. So, yeah, we're sitting with a star. It's Ashley Campbell. We hope you enjoyed our little visit behind the scenes here. We are at the Country Music Cruise 2022. Anything else you'd like to say, Ashley?
Thank you.
Bye-bye. With us is Matt Cage, one of the famous Elvises. How was it tonight?
Oh, it was a great night. We did the 68 comeback special, hence the black leather suit and all the sweat. It was a great.
You're looking fine. I know the sweat. Like I thought maybe you just spritzed yourself, but that's the real deal.
Baby. Okay.
And I'm all shook up. Whoa.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So when you are performing, the audience, you just had them just like a baseball player. I mean, like they were like right there cheering you on. Does that add a little bit to your performance?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you can sit at home and practice in front of a mirror and you'll never eclipse what you can do in front of a live audience. And a live audience like we have on these cruises, it's even a notch higher than that.
Making lasting memories for them. Sometimes this is like the highlight of their entire being. You know, they save up, they come on this cruise and, you know, getting a chance to interact with you. I think you guys did a fabulous job.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Yeah, I have to throw that in there.
I can do the lip. I can only do it on this side, Matt.
Me too. That's all you need, just one.
Yeah, but I think it's supposed to be on this side, right? Yeah,
see, it's the left side.
But in the mirror,
mirror, you're right. You know, I got the left. And some people do the left, some people go to right. It, you know, as long as you get it up there, baby.
It's all good. favorite song you perform?
It changes quite frequently. Depends on what I'm wearing.
Tonight?
Generally, Suspicious Minds, because I get to shake a leg.
Oh,
you know,
you
it's a great
leg.
Song, yeah.
Give me like a few bars of that.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out. Because I love you too much, baby.
Woo! I just got weak behind my knees. At what age did you realize that you could do the Elvis thing?
Why could I do the Elvis thing? Well, when I was a little baby boy, I listened to a song called Are You Lonesome Tonight? And I sang along for like many, 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 many times. And then I looked in the mirror and I go, I got to learn that song because when I saw his movies, all these girls were around them.
You did it for the girls.
when I was a young boy.
It's
I always
cute.
Liked Elvis. Always liked Elvis. He makes you feel great, happy. All genders of music. Yeah. You want to hear gospel? He does gospel. You want to hear country? He does country. He's versatile. It was great.
So your favorite song that you performed this evening?
Tonight? Mm-hmm. Oh, it changes all the time. Tonight's favorite song was Trying to Get to You. Because we had a hard time getting here, and here we are, 2 years.
Here you are. Oh, that's so sweet. You're right. The Country Music Cruise is back better than ever. And sing a few bars of that for us.
I've been traveling over mountain, even through the valleys too. I've been traveling night and day. I've been running all the way low, baby, trying to get to the country cruise.
How many years have you been doing this, Steve?
With this band, 7.
Okay.
So, been an Elvis fan forever, been a bass player forever, so it just happened. I lucked out.
Yeah.
Got a shot with these guys and been doing it ever since.
Yeah. It works for you. When you were growing up, though, did you play in a high school band?
I did. I played Dixieland band at McClure North. Go North Stars.
No, go Hawks. Hazelwood Central, class of 83.
No. You know, did a couple little high school bands. You know, we played in basements and stuff like that. Nothing special, so...
And at what age did you realize you could maybe make money at it? What was your first professional gig, Steve? Do you remember that? Mattingly's? You got like $75 for the night, maybe?
No, it was actually probably St. Peter's Cultural Arts Center doing an Elvis show with another band I was with. So
okay, there you go. Thank you, Elvis, right? Thank you, Elvis, for your blue suede shoes.
He provides for us.
Favorite song tonight?
Oh, probably If I Can Dream. Okay. Always a good one.
And do you Powerful. Also sing that?
No.
No, but would you sing that?
In the shower.
In the shower. We're not going to go there. What kind of kit are you playing this time?
This is a DW set, and let's see, take a look. It's a gold.
DW. They make good drums.
Yeah, good. A gold sparkle. Slice and all the production from Jonas always gives us the top-notch stuff we need. So it's always appreciated.
And what sticks are you playing with?
5B nylon tip.
Bring your own?
Yes.
Excellent.
And I'd what did not, but
but if you know that you bring them, it's like bringing your own toothbrush on a cruise. At least you know you have them, right?
That's right.
So the audience, they just seem to be so happy, and I'm sure you're just as happy.
Oh man, the crowds have been awesome. Everybody's so nice. It's like a big family reunion every year. This is a great place to be at this time of year. So,
now, did you always play Elvis music? What are some of the other genres?
I grew up playing country, but I was when I started taking drum lessons, I played all Elvis. My teacher told me play something you enjoy playing, so I put on the Elvis records. So I probably played every Elvis song there ever was.
It's good practice for the shows that you had to do here.
Never knowing that a world like this would exist, you know.
Are you still in contact with your first drum teacher?
No. It was a long time ago.
A long time ago. I can still remember.
I can't remember his name.
Well, we're going to find them. So if you're out there, Mr. Drum Teacher, he just wants to say, hey, howdy.
Hello, thank you.
Yes, hello and thank you. And do you also do any of the vocals? Because I thought I heard you singing back there.
Yeah, I sing the bass parts.
You do?
Giddy up.
Giddy up. Ba-dum-bum. All right. Thank you so much. It was good. Just a pleasure.
Thank you,
so
Donna.
Glad that we met this year.
Yeah.
So Cheryl, how many country cruises have you been on?
Oh, let's see. We didn't do the first one.
Okay.
And then there was one in the middle. So I don't know.
Most of them.
Almost all. Yes.
You just came off stage. How are you feeling about this year?
This is amazing. I mean, we are having so much fun. We had some new shows this year, so it makes it extra exciting.
Now, you have the last name as somebody else in the band. I don't know. Who might that be?
My husband is the drummer, John Crenshaw.
Woohoo! The fans loved all of you guys tonight. What do you enjoy most about performing this special tribute?
The camaraderie, the audience, the energy. The energy is just over the top. We feed up them, they feed up us, and we genuinely are having a blast.
Now, Growing up, were you ever an Elvis fan? Because I know I was.
Of course. Who wasn't?
I mean, I didn't realize until I was much older that it was the same person from like the early day films, right? When he was like, and then his later years. And I was like, oh my gosh, that was one talented, talented person. Favorite song that you were singing tonight?
Oh, tonight? Oh my God. Tonight.
You had like three or four shows Rubber this neck. Week, right?
Because we have a little fun with that.
Oh, there you go. Well, you look fabulous. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you.
And tonight's performance was spectacular. I mean, it was really, did it feel good for you? Because I know the audience loved it.
It was very fun. These are a good bunch of guys, you know, doing their, you know, whatever they, what do they do? They're Elvises and they did a great job and it's always fun.
And every good Elvis needs a great backline, right? So what were you playing tonight?
Guitar.
Okay. And tell us about your guitar playing. At what age did you start playing?
I believe I was 12 or 13. So now that I'm probably in my 20s. No, I've been playing a long time, so.
Okay. And who gave you your first guitar?
My mom, bless her heart. She's a saint.
Oh, yeah. Did it come from this Sears catalog?
I'm left-handed, and it was just a right-handed guitar upside down, which is not usually working well, and it didn't. But bless her heart. I wanted to keep trying, so.
Oh, well, congratulations. We wish you all continued success. I've got to see you all week long, and I know how much you're enjoying the fans and how much you just love the experience. There's nothing better, right?
No.
Country music curs.
Yes, it's a wonderful time, and I appreciate it was nice meeting you, too. Oh. I met you both.
On the bus.
On the bus, yes.
Back on the bus, Gus. You don't need to discuss much. Is that country? That's kind of country.
Yes, it is. That's it is.
Country. This is Donna Drake. Happy journeys.
We would like to thank you for joining us on The Donna Drake Show. We can't wait for you to tune in for the next episode. In the meantime, please feel free to rate, subscribe, and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. Thanks again. And until next time, remember to live it up with Donna Drake.